news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Tonight's episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast is dedicated to the loving memory of 8-year-old Connor McCulloch. Connor, your story was amazing. It inspired us all. If we were all as cool, as awesome as you are, we'd be in a better place. So for you, Connor the Crusher McCulloch, we'll take it from here, buddy. Godspeed. See you on the other side.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. I am your gracious host, Lord Philip of Richmond Town. Joining me, the Duke of Dumpster Drossy.
The Mega Powers. Yeah. Oh, what is this fake British accent?
You like my British accent?
Actually, it was pretty good. I was kind of surprised.
It reminds me of an old British joke that I heard. I forget it. I don't know if it was EastEnders, one of those shows. Guy comes home from work. If you watch British shows, you'll appreciate it. Guy comes home from work, and he comes in, he walks in the living room, and he sees his wife doing two dudes at the same time. And he goes, "Hello, hello." So then she stops and goes, "So you're not speaking to me then?" Of course you would get it, because your Mega Powers. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It is Wednesday night, as always, live on the Rant. Dave, we are?
We're live.
That's right. We're live. Rant, emradio.com. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. Good evening to everyone. David, how have you been, mate?
I've been doing pretty good. I'm not going to insult anybody with my rendition of a British accent, but I've been doing pretty good. Rehabbing my back, hopefully nobody hits me with any back rakes or anything like that. Hulk Hogan doesn't come up to me or some shit like that. Otherwise, I'm doing pretty good.
You didn't like my Duke of Dumpster Drossy? I thought that was fucking brilliant.
I was thinking about the Earl of Eaton, but he never really said much other than how now brown cow, so.
Exactly.
Oh, man, we need to do a Blue Blood show.
Hello to everybody in the chat room, everybody who's listening live. Whoever gets this on a download, hello to you. Yeah, I did a little piece in the beginning to Connor McCulloch. Like 1,700 people posted this between our page and our personal page anyway. And I just want to let Nancy Grace know that if you want to cover something, you fucking miserable cum dumpster, why don't you cover that instead of putting, shitting on wrestling and... apparently, the wrestling show she canceled, she's going to reschedule.
Oh, great.
Yeah, no one cares. Kill yourself. Kill yourself.
I hope she's dissected alive one of these days.
Yeah.
Find the stupid gene and extract it from every human being on this planet.
Yes, you're right. Anyway.
Dissected.
All right, apparently I'm low. I'm always fucking low. I can't figure out the volume thing on this. I don't understand what the hell the problem is.
Well, how do you hear yourself in the headphones?
I'm fine, but I'm going to try to turn up my volume.
Yeah, well, I think Tank needs to turn up the volume on his hearing aid.
That or the fucking, you know, the Dell computer he's probably sitting in front of that's 17 years old. I don't know.
His fucking Coleco vision or whatever.
His Intellivision.
He's got the he's got that thing where you pull the string and it goes moo. That's how he's listening to this show.
That's funny. All right, so we got some news to get into.
We got news.
Yeah, we got some news. We got some news. We got some Facebook. We have breaking news, actually. But I won't get into the breaking news until we get into Raw because
all right.
It'll coincide with the first thing I'm going to bring up in Raw. So,
all right.
Did you see the Extreme Rules pay-per-view?
Yes, I did.
All of it?
It was pretty good.
I enjoyed it. What'd you think of the pre-show with the little people?
The WLC, that one I was kind of like walking in and out because I literally got home while that was going on. I enjoyed it. I thought it was awesome. I know with midgets, it's just bound to, you know, hear the same old dumb like shitty jokes like, oh, we get the WWE Network for a half off. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Like, come on, really? But outside of that, like, the match was pretty creative. Everybody was involved. It took the midget match to a new level. The bar has been raised for midget matches. So, you know, maybe going forward, midget matches won't be so predictable and boring as shit. So,
right.
And they don't, nobody did that spinning pin or anything like that. So that was good.
All right, well, I enjoyed it. I'm glad it was on the pre-show, not the regular pay-per-view, because it would have ruined.
Should have been on the regular pay-per-view.
No, it's a novelty, Dave. It's, you know, listen, that one spot, though, that the McIntyre guy took, the table
oh,
spot.
Oh, my God, that was, yeah, he did the swanton out of the fucking, off the top, over the top rope into the tables. Ooh.
Yeah, that was pretty, that's pretty wicked.
Gruesome.
All right, let's go through. I don't want to dissect the card. I'll read the results.
No, this is a throwback show. We're just going to breeze right by this.
Breeze thing. Right through it. Oh, I think I see Scott in the chat room.
I know what's
coming.
That's right. All right, Cesaro defeated Rob Van Dam and Swagger. Rusev, they're not calling him Alexander the Rusev no more. It's just Rusev. Rusev.
Why don't they just call him Rusev to begin with? Don't give him a first name.
They'll call him Mother Bitch. Yes. Defeated Truth and Woods. Lana, the hot piece that he rolls with, putting over the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, in her opening monologue there.
Mm.
Pretty fucking hysterical.
Was pretty good. That was old school right
Yeah,
there.
That's about 30 years too late, though, Cha-Cha. But funny, it's funny nonetheless.
Yeah.
I got some bad news for you.
That was a good match.
Bad news, Barrett defeats Big E for the IC belt. I liked it. It was a good match.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you repackage Big E, I'm not saying making him a bad guy, but I think he's got potential.
So make him snap like Bob Backlund.
Right, yes, Bob Backlund. And make
so him... basically just completely repackage him as Bob Backlund.
Well, you can't call him Bob Backlund. It's not politically correct, but...
It's PG.
Maybe. Maybe on our show, not on anybody else's show.
Oh, God. I just have to throw this out there just to pour salt on the wounds, but Tank had to private message me to tell me that he's on a new PC.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, right.
Guys, am I sounding okay out there? I'm sorry if I'm coming down low. You know, it is what it is. Either turn up your fucking headphones or go
turn
watch
up that hearing aid.
Yeah, go watch QBC or something if you can't hear me, and get yourself go on QBC and order a hearing aid. All right, match of the night: The Shield defeating Evolution. Great match, by the way.
Six man tag matches, specifically with The Shield. Whoever they're getting paired up with is phenomenal.
Yeah, no, they're doing some great, great work.
Standout stuff. Reigns got the pin.
Yeah, Rollins does the New Jack dive from the balcony there. That was pretty fresh to death. I like that. Bray. Now here's the thing. So Bray Wyatt defeats Cena in a cage match, right?
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt wins via the creepy kid with the voiceover.
The kid didn't look that creepy.
The kid didn't look that creepy, A, right? And B, Cena makes 400 fucking Make-A-Wishes a year, and he's afraid of a creepy kid?
Well, the creepy kid was talking in that, you know, that Black Scorpion voice. Listen, so that's automatically scary right there.
So you mean to tell me every sick kid that John Cena visits is not creepy looking? Because, I mean, I'm not being facetious. I'm not belittling the children. But, like, some of these kids are hard to look at if you don't have a strong stomach.
Some of them are looking like
they're debilitated. Not even like they don't look like certain specific. Some of them are intubated. Some of them have breathing apparatuses. Some of them have walking.
They're looking like Nosferatu.
Pretty much.
Let's get to the point right now.
Right. So
Nosferatu.
Right. So he's afraid of the creepy kid, but not afraid of whatever.
Wait, he's not afraid of the creepy kid, but he's afraid of the regular looking kid.
Right. He's afraid, exactly. So all right,
with Black Scorpion voice.
Sting. Sting.
All right. Paige defeats Tamina. Nobody cares. Daniel Bryan defeats Kane to retain the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Okay. All this match needed was Mick Foley. It was nice.
Wait, say that again?
All this match needed was Mick Foley. Because it was a backstage brawl. It's been done 10, 15 years now.
Yeah.
I liked a couple spots I liked in the back. Kane using the oxygen tank, throwing it through the car windshield. Daniel Bryant uses the crowbar and then a forklift to bring him back into the ring.
He got asked at the press conference afterwards, how come you know how to use a forklift? And he was like, because I lived on the fucking farm, you dolt.
Yeah, really. Whatever.
It's wrestling. Real quick about the press conference, because I was so tired and it was still going. How long did that press conference go on for?
Dude. I don't understand. Listen.
It was on until like midnight or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, even as a sports fan, I don't even watch the post-game shows.
Yeah.
The only time I watch it really is for baseball, because I want to hear what the manager thought of, hey, why didn't you put that guy into bunt? Or why didn't you change the pitcher? Or why did you leave the guy in there after he gave up 7 runs? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know why they have to drag this out.
They're going to drag it out, at least have the pay-per-view on earlier, because, like, hey, you know, what if kids want to watch, you know, this stuff? Because it's obviously, even the press conference is scripted.
Right.
Obviously. Judging by from what I saw.
Obviously.
But it just went, it did drag on, like, too long, because the pay-per-view is ending at 11. You know, we're still in the PG era. Kids want to watch this stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It's still going on. And, like, It was on, like, too long, in my opinion.
Right.
Anyway, were you kidding that Sheamus fell asleep during it, or?
No, I wasn't. He fell asleep during the, shit, I think during the Rusev Truth Woods match. He fell asleep.
During the match?
Yeah, yeah. Good segue, partner, because we're going to jump right into Raw. Sheamus wins the 20-man battle royal to become the new WWE US Heavyweight Champion.
So I guess he doesn't even need.
I guess that was his reward for falling asleep during the show last night while he was on a panel.
So he gets a meaningless title.
He gets a meaningless title and gets into a backstage brawl with Sin Cara.
Which was legit.
Legit. And
it was a real fight, and he came up on the short end of the stick.
Again, the little man whoops the big man's ass.
That's just how it is in the real world.
And how it is in wrestling. How many little dudes have knocked big dudes the fuck out? Arn Anderson, Sid Vicious, Paul Orndorff, and Vader.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not nothing short of fantastic. Yes, Kid Newman, Kindness Corner was my favorite. All right? You fucking, yeah, you.
Sky!
Yeah, I'm talking to you. All right, yeah, I'm sorry. Sheamus wins the 20-man over the top rope battle royal. What'd you think of the Adam Rose debut?
I fell asleep.
Don't be a lemon, be a rosebud.
But I'll say this. I actually do like the Adam Rose character, because to me it's very blatantly obvious that the guy is – like the whole character is a joke, and he's portraying it as a joke. And it just comes off more of like a satire on people. You know, it seems like he's making fun of those kind of people more so than being that character. You know what I mean?
I don't have a problem with the character. I think it's hysterical. My only issue is Fandango.
He went against Fandango?
No. He's going to be like Fandango. How Fandango was great for like 10 minutes. And then he stops dancing. Or he just stops wrestling. He's not even like a mid-carder anymore. Like
I don't know. Well, whatever the name of the guy is who's portraying Adam Rose, you know, I feel whoever that guy is, whatever they put him in, he's going to make it work.
Yeah, but Dave, Johnny Curtis can legit go, speaking of Fandango. That guy can work, flat out work.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he went from beating Jericho at Mania last year to the mid-card to now maybe main event or superstars or... It is what it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I think what's Adam Rose's real name? Leo Kruger? Is that Leo Kruger? No.
That's what he was wrestling under, but that was a character too.
Right, but like the guy's got legit, you know, skills. He can go.
Yeah.
I don't know if, you know, it's going to pan out, and are you going to put him in like big spots? Like they put Fandango in big spots and then that's it. So the song.
Well, no, that's because they try to run with the ball from, you know, the day after Mania, but even they didn't realize, like, hey, you just got that crowd for that one day. It's not going to be every week.
Yeah. I hope it works out for him. That's all I'm saying.
Godspeed, Adam Rose, or Leo Kruger, or the guy's real name is Ray LePen.
Okay. If you say so, I didn't even go that far to look him up, but I was calling him Leo
Kruger. I just did.
Oh, yeah. I was calling him Leo Kruger, so thank you.
That was his previous NXT character.
Yeah. You know, the Cesaro Van Dam thing annoys me. Who cares at Ryback? Rusev beats Kofi Kingston. Now, here's something interesting. Daniel Bryan defeats Alberto Del Rio non-title via submission, right?
Yeah.
Dude, what's up with ADR, man? Is he buried? I mean, he's been, like, almost, you know, not... And, like, non-existent.
That used to be a world champion.
Another guy, like, you know,
he's friggin' Edge at the main event of Mania, and this is what he's come to.
Yeah, man, I don't understand.
Sheamus is the U.S. champion. Ziggler is, you know, bouncing around.
Do we add him to that club?
What, Ziggler?
The Ziggler Sandow. I'm great, but I'm not. I mean, listen, I like ADR as a heel. You know, I don't like him as a fucking face anyway. I don't mind his work. I think he got pushed a little too fast when he came in a couple of years ago.
Yeah. A lot of those guys got pushed fast.
I mean, his contract is up. In I think the same time Punk's is in, like, July.
Who, ADR?
Yeah. So maybe he's just waiting his time out to go back to Mexico. I'm not sure.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe Jeff Jarrett will take him into Global Force Wrestling, you know?
Oh, God.
Put him in his database.
Global Force Wrestling.
Put him in his database. Yeah,
Global Force Wrestling sounds like one of those like arcade games from the 80s when wrestling was really popular.
What's that?
It sounded... Yeah, Global Force Wrestling sounds like one of those like Nintendo arcade games
yeah.
from the 80s.
Temco presents...
Global Tag Team Wrestling.
Tag Team Wrestling was awesome.
With the Ricky Brothers and Strong Bad.
Dude, I fucking love that. I used to rock that game, man.
Oh, my God.
Mr. G's Arcade on Fresh Pond Road. Anybody in Ridgewood, holla.
It was the main event. Exciting Hour. What else?
WrestleFest. They had some great games, man. There's a
yeah,
spot.
I'm talking about like the ones that weren't real like wrestling federations.
Dude, there's a video game. There's an arcade in... How far are you from Red Bank in Jersey?
I think it's like 40 minutes away from me.
All right. Well, there's a spot in Red Bank down the block from Kevin Smith's comic store over there.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You pay like by the hour to play, and it's all old-school arcade games.
Mm.
And they even have a lounge. You can go back there and play like ColecoVision and Intellivision and all Atari. And they have
you can use the computer that Tank is listening
to
on.
You can use Tank's Commodore 64 that you have to push to play on the cassette deck.
The floppy disks.
The 3x5 floppy disks. Yeah, dude, no joke. I walked. My wife went out there to go shopping with a girlfriend. And I took the ride, and I'm like, yeah, drop me off at Kevin Smith's secret stash. I bought a couple of comics. I met the staff from Comic Book Man. I bought a T-shirt and hanging out. And I still had time to kill because the place ain't that big. I'm like, dude, I walked down there, Dave. I was in there for like 2.5 hours. I played fucking Kiss Pinball, WrestleFest, and WrestleFest, Elevator Action, Space Invaders. Dude,
Elevator Action?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, man. All that stuff. So.
And then they have the Simpsons arcade game?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't look that I didn't look for that. But they had, like, Miss Pac-Man. They had fucking Punch-Out.
What about Saturday Night Slam Masters?
No, they definitely had Tag Team Wrestling and WrestleFest.
Okay.
So that was fantastic.
Gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, it was Demolition and kicking people's asses for a good 20 minutes. So, all right. Bad News Barrett.
All right, mate.
Oh, hello, hello. Bad News Barrett defeated Big E to retain his Intercontinental title. You know, I think with guys like Sheamus, who's already defending the title already, and Bad News Barrett, there might be some life in those titles again, hopefully.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, with the tournament going on, it gave it, you know, some importance. But I don't know. When was the last time the IC title was relevant?
Yeah,
like, really, true. Like, a thing that was just kind of like, man, I can't wait to see that Intercontinental title match. I don't remember.
Yeah, Tony's seen the chat room saying that Cena beat ADR. That's why he's buried. Little buddy wants to know, do I remember Rampage? Of course I remember Rampage with the fucking monsters. You had to pick a
fake Godzilla. Fake
and you had to rip the buildings apart and stuff. I remember those are great games, man. Those are great games. All right. And then the Wyatt family fought the Shield again. I know it's old hat, but you know, Spy Hunter was fresh too. Yeah, nobody. The Wyatt beat the Shield. That was another great match. Then they got laid out by Evolution. But my thing is with that is that I know Batista's supposed to be leaving. To promote that movie that's coming out, Champion Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, but isn't his contract for a while?
Yeah, and I heard that he's pissing and moaning. Like, he was supposed to fight Daniel Bryan, and he refused the job to him again. Like, he's disgruntled.
Well, I could imagine, you know, they're bringing him in. You know, there's supposed to be hype around him for this movie. And I wouldn't be surprised if they were going to, you know, work out another Blu-ray, DVD, or some shit like that. But it's just kind of like nobody wants it. Nobody wants to see him on TV, or not many people do. And, you know, he's still Bautista. And with Evolution reunited, you know, I feel it's still more the Triple H show. And, you know, Orton and Bautista are in the background.
Right.
I don't feel like, you know, they're not, you know, the intention is no longer on them, plain and simple.
Well, you know, I like to see where it's going to go. I mean, they're going to stretch it out, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I don't even, again, if they stretch it out, I'm not upset with it. I just, you know, I just hope they keep it relevant and keep it nice and, no,
well, good. Let's hope that they turn it into the Bad Dudes arcade game, and we'll find out if Batista and Orton are bad enough dudes to save the president from the ninjas.
Well, I have Mac computers. If anybody can get me, like, I want like an emulator, bro, to play all these old school games.
They should have emulators for Macs.
Yeah, I gotta look into that, man. Anybody who's like tech savvy, hit me up later on the Foch book.
One of you youngins who knows how to use those toolbars and web addresses and email.
All right, speaking
hit up Phil.
Speaking of email, Mr. Mega Powers, the Duke of Dumpster Josie, do you have Facebook questions for us?
Yes, I do. There's a lot of Facebook questions.
All right, well,
hopefully not all from Rage.
Listen, we try to keep, you know, if you have 17 of them. Then, you know, we'll take your best one.
All right. First one is from Felonious Punk KCS.
Shout out to Felonious.
KSC.
Yep, Felonious is the man. It's NXT cast.
All right. He's saying Bulldogs for the Hall of Fame, or would the Bulldogs for the Hall of Fame be pushing it?
I saw a bunch of Hall of Fame questions.
Yeah.
Guys, you know what? I think people put a bit more emphasis now on the Hall of Fame because it's part of WrestleMania weekend and everybody gets all crazy and shit when that guy's not in it. You know how things are politically. If you're in good graces with the company, it's just a matter of time when you get in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, supposedly there's like a whole voting system or something like that.
Right. Now, I know Dynamite Kid is like in a wheelchair. I actually have the Matter of Pride DVD sitting in front of me in the studio here.
Which is pretty good.
It's a great DVD. If you guys haven't seen the Dynamite Kid documentary, it's called The Matter of Pride. It's put out by High Spots. Dave and I love it. It's two discs. Maybe we'll do a podcast on it eventually.
Yeah, down the road, especially just on Dynamite Kid.
Yeah, Dynamite Kid had a prominent career before. I'm sorry, Dave, I didn't mean to cut you off. Dynamite Kid had a prominent career before.
Yeah, his career was cut short, like in his 30s too. So
yeah, he had a prominent career before the Bulldogs. He had a great career in Stampede, and he had a great career in Japan and in England. So
yeah, especially I like to dedicate. Something on his career, and also talk about his book, Pure Dynamite.
Yeah, I didn't read that. I got to read that.
It's a phenomenal read. I'm kicking myself in the butt because I gave my copy to Matt from The Shining Wizards, so he has my copy, but I'm sure I can pick up another copy for cheap. That's a hell of a read. That's like one of the few books, period, that I've gone back to reread again.
Oh, they talk about video games in the chat room. I'm getting distracted. Stop it. Stop it.
Yeah, we're not talking about Narc or Double Dragon.
Dude, Double Dragon was the shit. Man, I love it.
Ghouls and Goblins.
Dude, how about Gauntlet? Warrior needs food badly. You remember that shit?
I never really played Gauntlet, so I don't remember that.
You gave me your N64. They have it for N64, too.
Really?
Yeah, man. I'm going to pick that up for you. Next time you come over, maybe I'll have it. We'll fuck
yeah, we need to have some sort of... I know Tony Z still has his N64. We need to get some sort of like a No Mercy tournament going on.
Yeah, Let's do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry, proceed. Yeah, so anyway, I like the, I do remember Pinky's Arcade. Yes, I do, and Rockaway.
Okay, Bulldogs absolutely. For the Hall of Fame.
You think absolutely, absolutely.
All right, absolutely. I think so. I want to say yes, but I feel the way things are going, part of me feels that, Davey Boy Smith would probably get in before Dynamite. For whatever reason, I don't see them going in at the same time.
Right. Well, Davey Boy's career in the States was better than Dynamite's.
Yeah. There's more people that remember the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith, as opposed to the tag team, the British Bulldogs.
Oh, Paperboy was fresh, too. Yeah.
Okay, stop talking about Paperboy and Matt Mania and all
fucking guys are killing
me. I'm trying to think of some other shit.
They need to be in the Hall of Fame.
Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Oh, that was for Sega Genesis. Yeah,
no, it was an arcade first.
I didn't play it on the arcade. All right, I'll check for the emulator. I can't do it now. No, Matilda's not getting in, Mr. X.
No.
It's funny.
Okay, Sam L. Elliott asks. I guess what's our favorite British Bulldogs match, and specifically with the Hart Foundation? Well, I'll answer this first. I don't have a specific favorite match. They're just all fucking good, because I'll just quickly say this without getting, too in-depth, because that's what we're focusing on tonight. We're focusing on the Hart Foundation and the Bulldogs. But, those guys just didn't have the same match all the time. They always had a different match every time you saw them. And they're all fucking good. That's it. Boom shakalaka. It must be the shoes.
Oh, fucking. I have NBA Jam, actually, for PlayStation 3. It's just the same thing.
Yeah.
My favorite Bulldogs match is WrestleMania 2. I mean, for obvious reasons. They win the belts from the Dream Team. And, of course, Ozzy Osbourne's in their corner. And Ozzy is everything. So
yeah.
Ozzy is the godfather of everything holy and hard and metal and all the good shit.
Yeah, British Bulldogs forever.
That's right. That's right.
That's and right. Our boy Harry is saying, which Davey Boy Smith is better, the one with dreads or short hair? Short hair, in my opinion.
Do I like WCW Davey dreads? No.
Actually, the dreads were better because, made him stand out on his own.
Wasn't he U.S. champion in WCW with the dreads?
No, I don't think he won any belts. I don't know. Let me double check.
We have to look into that.
Because when he came back again, I don't know. I just don't remember it. Even though I was watching at that time, I was a WCW guy, but I hardly remember any of that shit. It just got so bad after a while. Actually, it was around the Monday Night Wars where I actually stopped watching. I couldn't stand it. Both organizations were so bad. It was no longer entertaining. It was just like, just a quick aside. I don't want to hang on this for too long, but it was just like they were just trying to get the ratings, you know, for the night. It didn't mean that any of that stuff was good.
Right. Okay. That's fair. I liked his return with the Hart family. That was great during the Attitude Era.
Yeah, that stuff was great. No, he didn't win any belts in WCW.
I thought he was. Good thing I didn't want to catch myself out there. But
yeah. Right.
Next question, Mega Powers.
Next question is, okay, with the recent increase, this from Shane. With the recent increase of indie and overseas talent going to NXT, do you think there is this mindset of guys thinking, hey, the only reason I'm going to be a part of this Fed is because if I make it here, I can make it in WWE? And also, with selected indie talent, who would be your dream team? Ooh. And he says he's buying a shirt soon, so thumbs up to that.
Shout out to Shane.
My new favorite fan.
What, like an indie dream team, like a horseman or like a faction?
Yeah. Ooh. He says five or six guys getting together
Well, in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, don't they have the Mount Rushmore team, which was Kevin Steen, Adam Cole, and the Young Bucks, I believe it is? Guys in the chat room.
Or ROH?
No, it's Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Oh, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
It's like they call themselves the Mount Rushmore of wrestling. It's Adam Cole and Kevin Steen and the Young Bucks. I honestly, my dream team right now, the Indies, I would take I take Kevin Steen,
mm-hmm.
I take Eddie Kingston, I take the Briscoes.
Oh,
make them a fucking like a stampede. Those are my guys.
You know what? How can I word it? You know, it's I guess they're kind of mainstream, but they're still indie. You know, for me, it's the Bullet Club. They're the stable. Even though it's already in existence. You know, for me, that's just one of those kind of groups. You know, a lot of people debate. You know, like Tonga. You know, Tama Tonga isn't all that great, and you know, neither is you know so and so. But just together, those guys. You know, they have it. You know, it doesn't matter if they're great or bad. But guys like AJ Styles, Super Festus, Carl Anderson.
Speaking of the Bullet Club, congratulations to AJ Styles winning the IWGP Championship Saturday morning.
Yeah, I got to check out that pay-per-view. I have, like, no time.
Yeah, he defeated...
I'm going to have to figure out how to make time to watch that.
He defeated Okada with interference from now new member of the Bullet Club, Mr. Tanahashi.
The Tokyo Pimp.
Dude, I'm telling you, that faction is fantastic.
Yeah, man.
It was a good match. The card was okay. The first half was blah, but the second half was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, but it's just one of those kind of things, whether you could predict it or not. AJ Styles winning the IWGP Championship from Okada, you know, lately, just the way that New Japan works. They don't toss around those titles like WWE and other feds. Like, when a guy has a belt, he's got it for like a good year or so, and if he loses it, you know, he might win it back pretty quick, you know. But whoever that transitional champion is, they don't really do the transitional stuff often.
Yeah,
but when they do it, it's really intriguing. It's interesting, and these guys can go. The work is in the ring. It's not really with the charisma and the characters and stuff like that. It's just like these dudes are going to beat the fuck out of each other, and it's going to be amazing. And they're going to get back up the next day and do it again. But if that doesn't suffice for an answer, you know, I guess for me, the Wolves. Who else for an indie dream team faction? Who else is great?
There's so many good guys, Dave. I mean,
yep, Elgin,
ACH, fucking Drew Gulak, There's a bunch of guys, man. You can take some of the PWS guys. Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck.
Chris Dickinson.
Chris Dickinson, yeah, from Smash Wrestling.
Yeah, all the, you know, I would have like the Wolves, Chris Dickinson, my boy Jaka.
Oh, Johnny Mangway, right? Yeah.
Just have them in a group and just have them beat the shit out of everybody. But as far as like the mentality, I think that there's guys who are like, oh, you know, let me do this because I think, you know, that'll get me in the WWE quicker. But, you know, WWE has high standards. You know, they're cherry picking from some of the best universities out there. And, you know, they got their pick of the litter. So, but it's getting harder to create a presence on the indie scene thinking that you're going to get into the WWE. At the end of the day, if you're not all that great, regardless of what you've accomplished, if you don't have that it factor, they're not going to, you know, bring you in. You know, they're bringing in guys because it's that constant search for who's going to be the next Hogan, who's going to be the next Austin, who's going to be the next Daniel Bryan. You know, that's their mentality.
All right. Next question, sir.
Okay. Let's see. Let me cut through all the chit chat that was going on. All right. Tank has some questions.
All right. What's Tank's questions?
Okay. If what we know of the Bulldogs' issues didn't happen or came to be, how long do you think their run before retirement came? And two, when do you think Owen, Bulldogs, Pillman, Anvil make the Hall of Fame?
The Bulldogs would have stayed around at least until the early 90s. They would have split up and did something. I mean, Dynamite Kid was that good. You know,
yeah.
I'm taking nothing away from Davey Boy. I like Davey Boy Smith as well. Dynamite Kid was that good. They would have split them up like they did the Hall Foundation. So they would have lasted until the early 90s.
Yeah, and Vince was trying to get them back into the WWF. As soon as they were gone, he was already trying to get them back. And if I remember correctly, in Pure Dynamite, and I mentioned this on a previous show, that Vince was going to try to work something with the Bulldogs against the Brainbusters. But I remember specifically they wanted to do something with Anderson and Blanchard, Spike Piledriving Dynamite. But, you know, Dynamite turned it down, so none of that stuff ever happens.
Yeah, and plus, you know, Tully Blanchard liked that booger sugar too much. The nose candy.
Oh, yeah.
The nose candy.
We'll get more into the relationship with the Bulldogs later on.
Yes, we will. As far as the Hart Foundation, they're probably a shoo-in.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Brian Pillman, I don't know, because I got to tell you, Brian Pillman did not do a lot in terms. He only had like a 2 or 3 year stretch between ECW and WWE.
And he was injured. He was badly injured.
Right. His stuff was phenomenal. His promos were awesome. I mentioned that on a couple episodes. I just don't see him in the Hall of Fame, so
yeah.
You know, but I mean,
he'll be in, but it's gonna be a while.
Yeah, what else you got?
Let me see. Boz is asking. I'm pretty sure the Bulldogs never faced off against the Road Warriors, which for me would have been huge. What other tag teams would you have liked to see the Bulldogs take on during that era?
I would like to see them take on Demolition. Didn't they fight Demolition?
Yeah, they did.
Not Demolition. Obviously the Road Warriors. I want to see them fight a fan favorite match between Windham and Rotundo, the USA Express. That would have been a great match.
Yeah. I would have loved to see them against the Brainbusters. That would have been awesome.
That would have been the best
match.
Brainbusters
had a great feud with the Rockers. So I, you know, that was a plan down the road. I would have loved to have seen that. Also,
the Rockers,
Big Time Miller mentioned the Midnight Express. I would have loved to see that go down, or the Minnesota Wrecking Crew.
Can you imagine Dynamite Kid throwing a flying headbutt to Stan Lane, or Stan Lane super kicking Davey Boy in the face?
Listen, if the Bulldogs were in the NWA as opposed to WWF.
Oh my God! Can you imagine they could have fought the Horsemen, the Rock and Roll Express, the Powers of Pain, the Russians. How many fucking? They had so many tag teams. Rick Rude, Manny Fernandez. They could do. There were so many tag teams in the NWA.
They would have been a force to reckon with in NWA. Jim Crockett Promotions.
Are you kidding me, Dave? Oh, that's.
They already did some phenomenal stuff in WWF, but you know the cream of the crop for workers, and they were a worker team, was NWA, JCP, Jim Crockett Promotions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see.
Dude, all right. Moving right along.
All right. Eric Martin asks us, top three matches with the Bulldogs. With different teams, if you can, please.
Oh, Demolition, the Dream Team, Valentine, Beefcake, and the Hart Foundation.
For me, Dream Team, Hart Foundation, of course, and throw in some of their Japanese stuff. They had a good match with the Fantastics.
They fought the Fantastic in Japan?
Yeah.
Tommy Rogers and Bobby Fulton?
Yeah.
You remember them?
Yeah. They were. For me, they were severely underrated.
Tommy Rogers, Bobby Fulton, the Fantastics. Sorry.
Go ahead.
With how WWE is now, with like they just got way too many talented guys. I think they were kind of in the same position in the NWA. There was just so many great tag teams, and they had a phenomenal match with the Midnight Express on. I don't think it was the first Clash of the Champions, but it was like one of those first five Clash of the Champions.
Oh no, I know what you're talking about. And
that match is just so fucking good.
And if you have WWE Network, all 32 editions of the Clash of the Champions are now on the WWE Network.
My jaw dropped when I saw Eric post that on the Facebook group. And listen, if you're listening to this podcast and you're not part of the Facebook group, you need to get your ass in the Facebook group because that's where all the action is.
Yeah, word to Big Bird, man. Get on that shit. All right, what's the next question there, Handsome?
Let me see. Uptown Georgie is asking us. Oh, we're going to have to do this another day, but he's asking us to do a tournament bracket style. Best tag teams in 35 years. I know the Wizards did some sort of...
They do the March Madness. We tried starting a fucking tag team tournament last year, and it didn't work. If you got... Listen, we're only as good as our fans. Okay?
Yeah.
So if you guys want to do a bracket, a tournament, you guys got to get... And I know a couple of guys have friended each other on Facebook, and I think that is fantastic that you guys are all hooking up as friends and on social media because of the show. Dave and I aren't ecstatic about that, and that's no bullshit.
Yeah.
Get on that, man. We are only as good. We are only as good as you guys. So
yeah.
If you want us to do something like that, I am all for it. Somebody should start it up. There's a whole bunch of free sites out there that do. I know our buddy Rob Cortez. He's on the Facebook page. One of our admins. Rob is not as active as he was because he's busy with life.
Yeah.
But Rob did a bracket of all the best theme songs. That we all voted on a couple of months ago, last year,
I remember
or whatever.
That.
Yeah, so I mean, you guys are so awesome, and you're very smart, and you're very witty in the chat room, and you know on the Facebook page, get on that shit.
Yeah,
we'll do it. Do it up. You know me, man. I'm a mark for all this stuff, dude.
Because we don't have time. Like we don't always have the time. Like I was telling somebody my schedule for today because I'm trying to work out my days where I could schedule, like, I'm going to do this for this hour because when I don't schedule out my days, I'm a mess. Things don't get done. And me and my coach, as we call it, my success coach, trying to work out my schedule for the day. And they're like, damn, your day's jam-packed. I'm like, yeah, I don't have time for anything. Watching wrestling, preparing for this show takes up a lot of time, believe it or not.
You're preaching.
It's not all fun and games. It's not all shoots and ladders.
Between work and travel, that's 70 hours a week.
Yeah, and I'm trying to prepare I'm not going to give it away, but I'm chipping away at that book I was telling you about that I want to do a show on. Hopefully next month.
Yeah,
it'll
we're working
take
on
time.
That. Dude, come on, man! I have a house, mortgage, bills. I have a 7-year-old in the other room who loves wrestling too, and I got to keep up with them. And
so you guys, if you want, put together a tournament.
Lay it down. Lay it down. We are here. We can do it. All of us are very active and very interactive on our page and through the email and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool in the gang. You got any more questions?
Yeah, I see one. I'm going to ignore that one.
Oh, no.
And the last one is from Rage Cage. He's asking, is there such thing as a perfect wrestling organization? And if so, who is it?
No, nothing is perfect, first of all.
Unless it's Kurt Hennig.
Yeah, unless you're Kurt Hennig, which is true. And no organization is perfect. And I'll tell you why. Every fan looks at these organizations in a different light. I'm known to be more, you know, optimistic than pessimistic when it comes to pro wrestling because I love it so much, and I look for the good in everything. And my wife tells me I'm crazy because I do it in real life too, and I don't, you know, because I've come to a custom of trying to do that in my life, in my realm of you know, my think tank, you know,
yeah,
and to say perfect, it's such a bad word with sports entertainment.
Yeah.
You as a fan take it the way you see it, and then you, and that's how you keep with it. You know, like I will, in my eyes, nothing will compare to from 85 to 90. Nothing will compare in pro wrestling. 84 to 90, I should say. Nothing will compare in my eyes that era, the golden era. And you could tell me the Attitude Era, people like the PG stuff, the rise of the indies. It's all, for me, it's nothing compares to that. Whether it was Mid-Atlantic, whether it was Mid-South, whether it was WWF, NWA, AWA, Japan, none of it. Maybe Japan up until 95 when Masada and Kobashi stopped beating each other up.
Yeah.
And Muda took over and Baba passed away and all that shit. In different, in between Old Japan, New Japan, and then the rise of Noah.
Yeah.
Even the Joshi stuff is good. You know what I'm saying? Like that for me, nothing compares to that.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, for me, there's nothing perfect.
Yeah.
You make it perfect. The fans make it perfect.
Yeah.
You know, people think NXT is perfect. I mean, shit, our boys do a podcast about it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, you know, people think that it's, well, not that it's perfect, but it's better than what's going on with the rest of the planet.
Yeah.
And that's great. I love that. I know people who love Ring of Honor, and they put on a pedestal. I know people who like PWG. I know we have a friend, a mutual friend of those podcasting. She watches nothing but Chikara. She won't watch anything else but Chikara.
And I was like that for a good while. That's all I ever watched. There was even a point where I owned every single, like, Chikara DVD.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
but you're
then I kept seeing the same match over and over again, so I got bored with it.
Yeah, so it's what you make of it. It's not, you know, nothing's perfect. It's a good question, though. It's a very valid question. I know Rage gets a lot of shit from his rant brethren because you know, he's a young buck and he likes to get hot headed about shit. But you know what? He's got a good point, and I like his question. So, what else?
Yeah, I don't even know a favorite time for me. I would. For some, I really enjoyed 85, but I also really enjoyed talk about WWF 85, but I also really enjoyed WWF 88 to 91, right, specifically up to just to the end of 91, because then going into the next year, things were changing and. It was a transitional period, so there was some great stuff like Monday Night Raw and all that, but for 93, but things got weird fast.
And you notice I didn't mention ECW, and as much as I love ECW, that even doesn't compare to the old shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you watch promos, man, and I caught myself watching old fucking Mid-Atlantic promos the other day.
Yeah.
And I was like, it just doesn't, you can't compare. You can't. Yeah. It's like apples and oranges.
Yeah.
And the sets weren't great. There wasn't pyrotechnics. It was in fucking gymnasiums, and it was Tony Schiavone and Gordon Solie and Jim and David Crockett and Bob Caudle, and it was like, you know, craziness. So either way. All right. Next question.
Look at him, Tony. No, that was the last question.
Okay, we're gonna play some of our friends' plugs.
20 minutes of plugs and we're back.
Not 20 minutes of shit, Dick. We're actually a little ahead of schedule here.
We're moving along.
I'm sorry, I'm taking away from your day there, Cuddlecakes.
Okay.
All right. So listen, we ought
to
turn.
That's Mr. Cuddlecakes to you, pal.
All right, there, the Duke of Dumpster Drosy. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on the Rant, rantianradio.com.
Hey, hey, Thelonious Punk here, and I'm interrupting an otherwise quality podcast to let you know about our little show, NXT Cast. It's the only international podcast devoted to the future of the WWE, NXT. I'm joined each week by Chris NXN Nixon and the Austrian cyborg Bernard Binder to go over the latest NXT rumours and news, as well as an in-depth analysis of the latest episodes and the current roster. So if you're looking for a wrestling podcast that covers arguably the best in-ring product that WWE is producing today, then find us on Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic and NXTcast.net, the international podcast devoted to the yellow and black, NXT Cast.
This is Dusty Rhodes, the Bullet of Woods, the three-time world heavyweight champion, baby. And when I'm not getting funky like a monkey, when I'm not looking for baby doll, and when I'm not getting my ass kicked by the four horsemen, I'm listening to Mega Powers Radio, baby, on geeksoftheindustry.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and at the end of a lightning bolt. Ooh, blew our soul, Dusty Rhodes getting funky like a monkey with the Mega Powers Radio, if you will.
G'day folks, AJ here. When you've finished listening to this fucking podcast, head on over to iTunes or Stitcher and check out myself, Lee and Punch on the fucking Bloke Show.
We talk about a whole variety of topics like comics, cartoons, movies, television, and sports.
And we're often joined by guests like Deck from Ireland and other friends from all over this wonderful planet.
Once a month, we jump into the DeLorean and take a look at the history of professional wrestling.
And once a month, we look back at actual history with TWiT, This Week in Time.
And once a month, we talk about whatever the fuck we want to talk about.
So please follow us on Twitter at TBSPOD.
And talk to us in the Facebook group, The Bloke Show.
Now, I don't give a fuck what you cunts do. Just listen to this fucking thing.
Atomic Thieves, Podcasting Network.
Hey, it's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. When you're done with our show, head over to the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com, home to many great shows covering a variety of topics, including pop culture, heavy metal, music, sports, television, movies, and, of course, wrestling. Shows like The Fallen Angels, Stickman and Apex Radio, The Wolfman Jack Foley, Just Incredibles Pro Wrestling 101, The Midnight Jury, Two and a Half Wrestlers, of course, us, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, The Neckbreaker Podcast, and, of course, The Shining Wizards. So what are you waiting for? Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com right now. Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. Hey, it's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, inviting you to listen to The Midnight Jury. Mike Dorenganger and Adam Henning host The Midnight Jury, a podcast that transports you back to the last old-school generation, my generation. They debate in detail 80s and 90s pro wrestling, horror movies, and pop culture. Before the internet, before Blu-ray, before cell phones, there was the last old-school generation. Check out The Midnight Jury on the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Entertainment here. See, you had to mention Mr. Do, right? Dope.
I thought that was Galaxus or whatever the hell that...
It was Mr. Do's castle. I think nobody put it in the page, but Mr. Do...
I never seen a Mr. Do. I've played it on the emulator, but it looks like a crappy-ass game.
see, this is why we can't have nice things. You won't know how great that was because you were like negative five when this came out.
Probably.
You were still swimming in daddy's sack before, you know, before
all that. Hey, I don't know how all that works. I could have been there at that time.
Maybe your dad was actually playing this before you while you were conceived.
Playing Mr. Do while he was doing the
Maybe he was courting your mom for a slice of pizza at the arcade. Hey, baby, you want to play some Mr. Do?
Well, you know, sometimes that's all it takes is a slice and a quarter, and here I am.
A slice and a quarter.
Look wow, I actually said that too.
Oh, man, it's awesome. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
We're back.
That's right. That is right. So, you know, I haven't played the cunt clip, and I'm glad because... But since we're doing the British thing, I was going to play the cunt thing, but you haven't said anything silly, so.
I never say anything silly. I'm serious.
Yeah. You're right.
I'm as serious as a heart attack.
Serious as a heart attack.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So.
Because you're looking at the real deal now.
Welcome to May. It is, we're dedicating May to some of our favorite tag teams.
It's Siete de Mayo.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And we're dedicating the next 4 weeks to our favorite tag teams and our favorite matches. Making the hot tag. Now,
every Wednesday on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
That's right. This is not a, you know, again, these matches, some of them are, I thought this was Dave's favorite. It's not. So I apologize to Sam on the Facebook page.
Public apology.
I did.
Because you're wrong.
I'm not ashamed.
Like always.
That's not true.
Wrong.
See? You fucking did it.
You're a cunt. You're a cunt now. You've always been a cunt. And the only thing that's going to change is you're going to become an even bigger cunt. Now you have some more cunt kids.
See? Nice things. We're never going to have them. So,
nice things will happen.
Dave sends me this clip. And... I messaged him back. Do you know any background on it? So he goes, no. Do you know when it's from? No. Do we have a date? No. Okay.
It happened before WrestleMania 2. That was it.
Okay. So here's what I did.
These guys were having matches with one another since. I think part of me wants to say very late 84, but I know it's been going on since 85. These guys were having matches all the time.
Well, this was right before WrestleMania 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Like literally like a month or two before.
Yeah.
So this was courtesy of Classics on Demand, which was pre-network, which was really good, but not as good as the network, obviously.
No, it was looking back on it now, it was extremely limited, which was actually one of the reasons why I stopped subscribing to Classics on Demand.
So as I'm playing the match, and I hear Gorilla Monsoon and Lord Halford Hayes was calling the action, welcome to, you know, WWF action, we're at the Cap Center in Landover, Maryland.
Mm.
Cap Center for me in the 80s was the home of the Washington Capitals, one of the New York Rangers' bitterest rivals. The Washington Bullets used to play there.
Washington Senators the arch rivals of the Harlem Globetrotters?
No, the Senators are a baseball team, sir. And
but who's that team that could never beat the Harlem Globetrotters?
I don't know. But it
was Washington somethings.
Well, the Senators were a baseball team in the 50s. But anyway, all right, so here's the deal. So now I jump on a message board and I'm looking and I'm like, you know, this has got to be like 85 or 86. And I'm digging. All of a sudden I dig into a message board, and as I'm watching the match, I'm reading some kid posted his analysis of the match. He broke the match down like we do, hole by hole, most of them, not hole by hole, but like, you know, moves and spots and stuff like that. And I'm watching the match, I'm reading this guy's article, and I'm like, wait a minute. So I go back to another message. There's a bunch of message boards that are outdated, but if you Google them, if you put in certain dates and wrestlers, you get shit pulled up. That's how I found a lot of the some of our clips from previous shows.
Yeah.
Message boards, which I think I'm still a part of on Yahoo and some other shit. But this was January 18th, 1986 at the Cap Center in Landover, Maryland. This was a hotbed for wrestling and hockey back in the 80s. Mm. It was one of the main stops for the WWE. They actually had an office in Washington, D.C., because back then it was Vince McMahon Sr. had Capital Wrestling before it was WWWF. So there's some history between the state of the District of Columbia and that area, Maryland and stuff like that. All right, so this was, like I said, Gorilla Monsoon, Lord Alfred Hayes are calling the action. The British Bulldogs taking on the Hart Foundation.
This is, in my opinion, my favorite tag team feud of all time.
I don't know. See, there's
Wait. This is my opinion.
No, your opinion. No, I'm disagreeing with you.
This is my favorite feud of tag teams ever.
It was the Washington Generals that couldn't beat the Harlem Globetrotters. Thank you, Pastor Sadell.
Those idiots in the Washington Generals couldn't knock the ball out of his hand while he's spinning it on his pinky and win the game.
Oh, Tony C still putting out those video games. Tecmo Bowl was the shit.
Yeah, but that wasn't an arcade game, was it?
No, it was a Nintendo game. You know what, though? No, maybe it was an arcade game.
They had Tecmo Pro Wrestling, too.
Tecmo Pro Wrestling was fresh to death.
That was a great one.
Rangers are losing 4-2. They're pretty much done after this game. All right,
back to the
matter at hand. So Dave thinks this is the best feud of all time.
For me,
for you, okay, that's fine. That's a fair assessment. I disagree, but that's all right.
What is your opinion?
Oh, there's a lot of them, dude. There was the Freebirds and the Von Erichs. There was.
But just for you, what do you specifically love to go back to? And
Freebirds and Von Erichs. That was
the ultimate,
dude. I mean, they couldn't leave some buildings. They got their cars turned over, set on fire. They would chase with knives in Mid-South. I mean, the Freebirds were hated in Mid-South and Texas. They hated. People hated them. They wanted to kill them. That's how bad. That's how over the Von Erichs were. I mean, not as technically sound as the Hart Foundation and the British Bulldogs. But if you're going to give me a feud, and I'm talking like these guys, let's be honest. The Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation didn't cut promos, these spectacular promos.
Actually, they did.
Well, maybe the Hart Foundation did, but the Bulldogs not so much.
Bulldogs did, but it wasn't, the Bulldogs were not known for their mic skills. Actually,
no.
Oh, man, I want to kick myself in the butt for this. Because there was a really good Hart Foundation promo that they did a while back, probably around this time, on the British Bulldogs.
Put it on the Facebook page when you find it.
Yeah, and it's great. It's just especially for that time, because it was, I forgot what that dude's name was, but anyway, they're having this promo with this guy, and Anvil says to the interviewer, "What do you call a female dog?" And the guy's like, you know, at this time, when they were doing promos, regardless if they're taped 4 months in advance or whatever, they were done on the spot and they just kind of ran with whatever, was done, because they're doing everybody's promos in the same day. But Anvil says to him, "What do you call a female dog?" And the interviewer reluctantly says, "A bitch." And then they all start laughing, except for the interviewer, because he's like breaking a sweat here. And they go off on the British Bulldogs and Matilda and going off saying they're taking orders from a bitch. And they're having a jolly good old time. And it's like, oh, my God, they said this, in 86, 85, whenever. And for me, that just kind of stood out, as far as them just kind of poking fun out of each other for these promos. Granted, there wasn't really much hype, for this feud, and even the title change was kind of as a result of Dynamite Kid being injured. He collapsed during a match with Morocco and Orton. So it was just kind of like, you know, spur of the moment, you know, kind of thing. This wasn't really meant to be a big feud. But, you know, as far as promos goes, that was the one that sticks out for me. And I'm going to try to find that and post it. I posted it a while back, but now that we're specifically talking about the Bulldogs, the Hart Foundation, I'm going to find it and post it up later on.
Nothing wrong with the feud. I just think looking back at it now as an adult and comparing it to other feuds and other teams, I think the build-up could have been a lot better. You know, even though they were a bit character, this is before they were really, really character-driven.
Yeah.
And before the big boom after WrestleMania 4, you know. And I mean big boom, I mean the character boom. They started bringing more characters into the mix, you know.
Oh, I found it.
Yeah, so put it on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Or send me the link. You know what? No, never mind.
Can't convert it.
No, I can't convert it. Oh, we're doing this. By the time I convert it, you know, we'll be fucking done. But
yeah,
all right. But you know, for me, I need more substance. I need more. I need that. I mean, there was so much heat with the Von Erichs, the Horsemen with Dusty, and any tag team partner he had, any flavor of the month he had, the Road Warriors and the Powers of Pain.
Into that feud. That was kind of bogus for me, but
nah, dude, come on. With the weightlifting competition, they break Animal's face. Animal's got to come back with the hockey mask, and he's, you know, that's how they played it off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I mean, again, there's more. When the Road Warriors jump Dusty, that's actually one of the matches we're going to be doing this month. When they jump Dusty, and then Dusty has to fight them at Starrcade 88.
And they fucking put the
They put the spike in his
spike
eye.
Spike in his
so
eye.
There's your spoiler. That's one of my favorite.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about it. We're talking about the Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation tonight.
Exactly. All right, so let's get into our throwback of the week, and let's play the liner.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
Right, here you go. This contest is scheduled for one fall with a 20-minute time limit.
Oh, yeah.
Hart Foundation and the British Bulldogs. January 18, 1986. Like I mentioned before, Gorilla Monsoon and your lordship, Alfred Hayes, on commentary. Dave, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, so the Anvil starts off the match with Davey Boy.
How can I word it? You know, outside of the tag matches, you know, occasionally on these house show circuits, occasionally they would have singles matches between the tag teams competitors, and they would usually pair off Dynamite with Bret Hart in singles matches, and they would pair off Davey Boy Smith with Anvil. So not only were these guys kind of getting experience having matches with each other together, but they were also getting singles competition as well. And it's not surprising that Anvil would start off with Davey Boy Smith.
Anvil pulls down the straps, and Davey mocks him, pulling down mocks his belly, and then ducks a clothesline and slaps him right in the mouth.
Yeah.
Then we get Davey Boy catching Anvil's foot and begins to gently lower it, which confuses Anvil.
Yes. Who then receives gently putting it down like it's not a big deal.
Right, and then gets the sucker punch to the gut. Funny spots to start the match before we get started. Really great wrestling, though.
Yeah, I again, you know, they didn't do the same shit every match. It's stuff like that, you know. How can I word it? They went the full gamut. There was wrestling, there was comedy, you know, lots of different aspects going into it. So that's just one of those things that they just did that one time. It wasn't done like overkill in several matches, but that was pretty cool. I thought that was a unique little aspect thrown into the ring that was just kind of strange, but
so
funny.
Right. No, exactly. So the Hitman gets tagged in, gets a cross body block, and then gets taken down with a quick arm drag. The Foundation, of course, regroups, and now it's Bret and Dynamite, which Bret and Dynamite have a huge history dating back to Stampede, squaring off. The crowd gets fired up. There's a quick sequence of that ends with Bret doing a slingshot into the turnbuckle.
Yes.
As he falls back, Dynamite Kid hits a huge knee. Brett turns the tide eventually after Davey Boy mistakenly gets too close to their corner as he has Anvil in a headlock, and Brett tags him in and then starts dissecting Davey with a backbreaker and then the second rope elbow drop. As he,
yes, the part of the five moves of doom.
I mean, he has to always miss one.
Yeah.
He hits one, misses one. That's Bret Hart. I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. Bret Hart was pretty sound.
It was his shtick. That was his thing.
And guys, really, with the five moves of doom, there's 80% of the guys you root for do the same shit every time.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to poke at guys like Cena and poke at guys like, and Bret Hart, look at yourselves in the mirror and look at the guys, some of the guys that did it back in the day. Hogan did it. Goldberg did it. Macho Man was infamous for it. Ultimate Warrior, Rick Rude. These guys were...
Sting.
These guys did not really go outside the box unless they wrestled guys that were outside the box.
Yeah, well, they had their outside the box moments, but, you know, that was... How can I word it? It's kind of like branding. It's like when you go to see these guys, it's like, hey, I'm going to see Petey Williams. I can't wait to see him do the Canadian Destroyer. Oh, it's Bret Hart. Can't wait to see him do that backdrop or backbreaker or whatever, you know. It's kind of like a comedian that does like a callback. Like when you see them do some of those familiar moves, it's kind of like it just relaxes you. It gets you in the groove. It's kind of like you can kind of relate to the wrestler and you're just looking forward to certain, you know, routines that he does, whether it's going to see a band and hear certain songs or going to see a comedian and hear certain jokes. It's like that.
It's like going to a Leonard Skinner concert and people are like, oh, are you going to play Freebird? Are you kidding me? Like, that's their song.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, you know, whatever. People do need to get over themselves.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I do find it funny that they call it the five moves of doom because they're not like the greatest. They're not like that, like, damaging of. Well, right. they are damaging moves to do to people.
Right, because back in the day, stuff like that was a pinfall. Like an atomic knee, like Bob Backlund's knee, atomic knee drop was a pinfall.
Yeah.
So it's the sports evolved. You know, get with the program.
British Bulldog did the power slam, and that ended people.
Right. So
Dynamite did the headbutt. That ended it.
Get over yourselves. Junkyard Dog did a headbutt and won.
He did a power slam.
And power slam too, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that they would do what later to be a staple spot for Brett, obviously, like we mentioned.
Yeah.
Anvil gets shot into the ropes as Brett is on the apron. Back to the ring and gets catapulted onto the steel guardrail.
Mm.
Anvil kind of makes it what looks like a little bit of a slop as Dynamite follows it up with a clothesline, but it doesn't matter much because Brett recovers and catches Dynamite with a knee to the back of the apron.
Mm.
The ref gets distracted. That's a cliche in the 80s.
That's the thing. Refs don't really get distracted so much these days. I don't really notice that in tag matches or just period.
Right, so the ref gets distracted, as I just did. She comes in, she's half naked, and she's screaming, and, are you serious right now? I'm broadcasting here.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Tell her to get the hell out of there.
Dave said get the hell out.
Get the hell out. This is my house. That's right.
Tell her to get the hell out of her own house.
That's right. Get the hell out of your own house. Unsilent Majority. Episode 2 is up, by the way, guys. Go cop that. Catches Dynamite with a knee to the back of the apron. Of course, like I said, like Dave mentioned, the refs don't get distracted no more. Brett hits the nastiest body slam on Dynamite Kid onto the concrete floor.
Onto the concrete.
Yeah, exactly.
It's rough.
Yeah.
Oh, there's one thing that you didn't mention that I found.
We'll proceed.
It happened earlier in the match. There was a few things that happened that kind of crossed my mind while they were happening. One, there's like a victory roll done by Davey Boy Smith. Nobody was doing victory rolls back then.
I know. The Killer Bees were infamous for that, dude. What are you talking
about? Yeah, but it wasn't happening that often.
No.
And, you know, the at this point in time, tag teams were heating up. There were the Killer Bees, there were the Rougeaus, who were faces at the time. Rougeaus were fantastic.
Yes, they were
at this time. I know. I think on the rant page there was a little, it wasn't hate for the Rougeaus, but a lack of faith on the part of all people, the pastor Seidel. He didn't put too much faith in the Rougeaus, but the Rougeaus were frigging good before they became like a joke team, losing to the Bushwhackers at every pay per view. Another thing to throw out there real quick, the Hart Foundation were kind of like the bitch team. Like, they always lost to people at this time. They were losing to the Killer Bees. They were losing to the Rougeaus. They were losing to British Bulldogs quite a bit. But anyway,
so
victory roll is going down. But there was one point, we haven't talked about it too much, but Dynamite Kid was such an intense wrestler. Everything that he did in that ring mattered, and specifically with this match too. Like, everything that these guys were doing in there made sense. It had a flow to it, but Dynamite was so fucking intense. And there's one point in the match, I'm kind of surprised that the dude even made this kind of mistake, but there's like a point where he's crisscrossing around with Anvil across the ropes, and there's one point where Anvil ducks and Dynamite is just like so caught up in running the ropes that he literally just like runs into the dude's head, like, stomach first. And when I saw that, I was like, oh man, he did that, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I did mention the spot before the beginning. They were going back and forth. I just didn't get into it like you did.
Yeah,
but
I just had to put some added emphasis on it.
That's fine. That's fine. Just if you hear something that I'm reading off, just cut me off. It's just me reading from notes. I'm not watching the match. So
yeah.
So Anvil holds Dynamite Kid. Brett hits the elbow off the top rope again. Suplex City. Very well executed.
Yeah. Somebody sending you the MP3 of the promo.
Of the promo.
Matt. The bitch promo, so you can play later on. He's sending you the MP3 on Facebook. Just a heads up.
All right, let me try to log in real quick. So give me 1 second. All right, I'll try to play it. Because I don't want to get... Because if I keep the Facebook on, you're going to hear all the notifications and shit.
Yeah.
That's why I have you read the Facebook questions. But anyway, Suplex City, it was well done. It was well
done. Yeah.
So let's see what's going on here.
And, while I'm watching this, like, oh my God, like a lot of things are just like coming back to me about tag team wrestling. The heels are on the outside. They're taking a powder.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. They're taking a powder. They're taking their time outside. There's like the sneaky tags, like Anvil got, who was it? Let me look at my notes. He had Davey Boy Smith in a front chancery and sticks his arm out behind the ref's back, gets the tag into Bret Hart, just like stuff like that, cutting the ring in half,
right?
Just stuff that it's just funny to me. I don't watch as much old stuff as I used to. I haven't watched the Hart Foundation British Bulldogs match in a good while, so this is kind of like taking me down memory lane. Granted, I wasn't watching these matches when they were happening, just me catching up over the years and just, indulging in all this stuff in the past. And it's just kind of like, wow. Just seeing some of this stuff and like watching what's going on now. It's like, it just doesn't happen anymore. Even for TNA. I know TNA is, bringing back some old school style with their matches. I noticed a lot of it was going down for Sacrifice, but it's just an art, and you just don't see it that often anymore.
No, it's the greatest form of entertainment. Tag team wrestling for me was the reason why I got into it. So,
and there's a point where Brett's strangling Davey Boy Smith while Anvil's distracting the referee. There's like a blatant choke going on behind the referee's back. Just stuff like that, where heels were just trying to get, regardless of how talented they were, stuff like Bret Hart, strangling Davey Boy Smith just so they can get the advantage, just so they can win the match.
All right.
It's
a lost art form, dude. It's not. Yeah. This is why we talk about this stuff. All right. So, shout out to Matt. He sent us the clip. Let's play it real quick. Shining Wizards Tony in the chat room.
Well, no, let's play it afterwards.
We'll play it afterwards.
We're knee deep in the match.
All right, we're knee deep in the match. All right, so of course, Brett's having a lot of fun being cocky, being the cocky heel that he is.
Yeah.
Davey chases him around the ring, and he gets away from poking fun of Davey's big muscles in the background. Yep. Clearly, it's the most entertaining thing about the match, that the poking fun. And these guys were all friends and family, so, I mean, they made for good matches.
Because all these guys were facing each other in Stampede Wrestling and singles matches and stuff like that.
All right. So now the match hits a high gear. Dynamite takes Brett's head off with a fucking lariat. That, I mean, was insane.
Left arm lariat.
Yep, a left arm lariat. And then he hits a lovely top rope dropkick and then a snap suplex.
And he always did his missile dropkicks, even just the regular dropkicks. Like, he always landed on his back.
Yeah, no, true. Brett reversed.
He wasn't landing on the side like a lot of guys do, like the old school drop kick where he just put all his force, you know, into his feet, right on some guy's chest and landed on his back.
He puts emphasis.
Yeah.
Right. On.
I can see, like, you know, no matter how beautiful Jeff Jarrett's drop kick or no matter how great Maven's drop kick looks, it's just kind of like when you just jump up in the air and just stomp somebody in the chest. You know, there's nothing like it.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Brett reverses a whip, sending Dynamite throat first into the corner. Groggy Bret Hart goes up on top, but Davey from the apron upsets the balance and crotches him.
Yeah.
Dynamite climbs up there and hits an awesome superplex.
Which knocks the wind out of both of them.
Yeah, I wrote that down. Both guys are out at this point. Davey tries to come in, but the ref stops him. So the anvil puts Brett on top, and when the ref comes in, he counts the 1, 2, 3.
And this was a very rare Hart Foundation win over the Bulldogs.
In the Cap Center.
In the Cap Center, Capital Center.
Right. Exactly.
And that was phenomenal. You know, like another thing you don't see too often, you know, the 10 count when both guys are knocked out on the floor. And just a phenomenal match. Like, if you know, I don't know what the scope is for a lot of guys listening. You know, I know there's a lot of guys who've seen this stuff. There's a lot of dudes that haven't watched these. You know, that one guy, Sam L, was asking about matches. I'm just going to post, after this, I'm just going to post a shit ton of Hart Foundation Bulldogs matches. You know, you watch it, you judge. But again, like, these guys always had something new up their sleeve, you know, despite the 5 moves of doom. They were always bringing something fresh. They knew each other inside and out. Everything made sense in the ring. No matter what they did, everything made sense.
It made sense because they put emphasis into what they were doing. They respected their characters, each other's character, and they respected the moveset of each guy.
Yeah.
And they were family. So beating the piss out of your brother-in-law, then having a couple of beers afterwards, it was you know, guys who, and we said this before on many shows, that guys who are friends or family with each other, that know each other well, you could tell that there's the choreography is better. It's like when you go on, like when these dancers go on tour and stuff, and they have like the same backup dancers for like the 7 years or whatever. It's the same shit. It's like, you know what you're getting. So when you see a Flair Steamboat match or you see a Bulldogs Hart Foundation match, you know, you're getting quality because these guys all get along. When the Von Erichs and the Freebirds, these guys got along. So, you saw that camaraderie. It wasn't, you know, Savage worked with guys, with him and DiBiase or him and Warrior, or him, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like those guys, Piper and Valentine from Mid-Atlantic, those guys beat the snot out of each other. Door collar matches, cage matches,
Russian chain matches.
Valentine and Santana, good choreography. You know, Don Morocco and Tito Santana, good choreography, good stuff. You know, so
yeah, it was guys that had a good rapport with one another, and you know, they put if they didn't like each other, they just put things aside because they had respect for each other inside of that ring, and it's just kind of like you can't ignore talent, you know. You know, there's the whole beef with the Rougeaux, specifically Jacques and Dynamite. But, you know, if you listen to Jacques Rougeau, especially now, you know, talking about that incident, at the end of the day, when they were in the ring, it was all business. Right. You know, they respected each other's talent, and they put business over, you know, personal, you know, bullshit.
Not risky business, just business.
Not risky business, not you know. Tom Cruise is not a part of this.
That's right.
So.
That's right. All right, so here's your clip, your Hall Foundation promo clip.
Well, speaking of your opponents, I would imagine foremost on your mind, Anvil, and of course, Brett the Hitman's would be the tag team champions of British Bulldogs.
You're always asking us questions. Always asking us questions. Right. Well, let me ask you a question, all right?
Be my guest.
Killer Ken on comment on the mic there.
What is a female dog?
That's not what Brett Well, it's called a bitch is the term.
A what?
Call it, the terminology is a bitch. Referring to a female dog.
That's the Bulldog's new manager.
It's bad enough. It's bad enough that you got to take orders from a dog. But you got to take orders from a bitch.
Boy, they're really using their brains, aren't they? They should have a foundation of their own.
Does she got a little tiny belt she wears around, too?
Gorilla, what can I say? We'll be back with more great primetime action right after this.
I love me some Killer Ken, man.
Oh, my God.
He was good. I liked him doing the backstage stuff.
He wasn't around for too long. But...
No, he wasn't, but he was very good at what he did. So
yeah, he was in the AWA, too. They cherry picked him from the AWA, right?
Yeah. Yep, they sure did.
Yeah. But that was probably the most entertaining that Bret Hart has ever been in his entire life right there.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
And thank you, Matt, for hitting us up with the MP3.
Yeah, Matt on several levels, good looking out. Matt's going to be hooking us up with a new T-shirt logo that'll be debuting with the Shining Wizards Network. Something that I like designed technically in my head and Matt put it together. So once we get all that worked out, we're going to be debuting that. It's going to be an awesome shirt. Kind of reflects what we do. As an old school wrestling podcast, and you know, something for the network and something for you kids to buy, so no big deal. So once we get that going, we'll debut that in a couple of days. And wow, we're done. Well, we're done with our throwback. You want to?
Oh, we could talk a little bit more about the feud because you know these guys were going on for a while, and you know, essentially the Hart Foundation, they weren't really McMahon's pick for tag team champions. Actually, I may have mentioned this on a previous show. They initially, McMahon was going to go for Sheik and Volkov to regain the titles, but you know, Dynamite had his incident where he, you know, just him doing the steroids and doing the drugs night in, night out, and all the crazy bumps that he was taking in his very short career is catching up to him. And I forgot what the specific issue was, but the guy just collapsed during a tag team match with the Bulldogs going against Morocco and Orton. I forgot precisely where. I'll put up a video of that too, because funny enough, somebody actually has a fan cam footage of it. But you know, Dynamite's laid up in the hospital. You know, thankfully they have all these, you know, 4 months of wrestling taped for the WWF. So Bulldogs are still on TV, but, you know, they need to make a decision and they need to make it quick. And, you know, Dynamite makes the suggestion, you know, give it to the Hart Foundation. And McMahon was dead set on not having that happen whatsoever. They were just, you know, like I mentioned, they lost to everybody. They lost to the Killer Bees. They lost to the Bulldogs. They lost to the Rougeaus. You know, there wasn't they weren't really breaking out. They were still there. They were considered, you know, the heel team. You know, Jim the Anvil Neidhart was the man who left the NFL because it wasn't tough enough. But, you know, when Dynamite wanted Vince to put his faith and put the ball in the court of the Hart Foundation, he didn't want to, but he kept pressuring them. And finally Vince said yes. And then on a episode, I believe of it's either Superstars or Wrestling Challenge, they had him drop the belts in pretty short form, because literally Dynamite could not walk to the ring on his own power. Story goes, Davey Boy Smith literally, you know, was carrying him to the ring, and they played it off that Jimmy Hart knocked out Dynamite Kid with the megaphone before the match started, leaving Dynamite on the floor, didn't have to do anything the entire match, and they just double-teamed the shit out of Davey Boy Smith, hitting him with the heart attack clothesline. Didn't have a name for it then. It was just the clothesline. And Hart Foundation won the tag belts. And slowly but surely, you know, Dynamite got better, got back in the ring. And I think Baza actually posted up a tag match of Hart Foundation against the Bulldogs after the tag title reign. And, you know, Bulldogs were starting to get phased out, but they were still on top. They were just one of those tag teams that, regardless of what was going on with them, they were always a top tag team. And, you know, they were the face of, you know, tag team face of the company. And despite them only having one reign, you know, they were just legit tough. They were very innovative. Had my favorite tag team finishing move, which I thought was absolutely ingenious, where Davey Boy Smith would power slam whoever their opponent was. Opponent would come out, try to save him, get him in the fireman's carry, lock him up, tag Dynamite. Dynamite would jump off with the headbutt, and Davey Boy Smith had the guy's opponent locked up in the fireman's carry, wouldn't let him go, and they would get the three count. You know, how genius is that as a finishing move? You know, I know that there's Doomsday Device, there's the Steinerizer, all that other stuff, but just that is just such a simple little thing. You know, you have the five count, opponent's locked up in a fireman's carry, can't move, your opponent's like headbutting the other dude, getting the three count. Just very simple, you know, stuff. It wasn't like blown out of proportion. Just simply getting the opponent's tag team partner locked up, getting the three count. How cool is that?
Very cool. It was a great feud. Three out of the four were the most one of probably arguably top 10 or top 20 technically sound guys in the business. Maybe not Dynamite Kid. Maybe Dynamite and Brett were one of the most technically sound top 10, even top 20 I've ever seen wrestle. So, I mean, you know, in terms of, you know, E for effort, you know what I'm saying?
And even the, you know, their matches, I remember there was like a singles match. I think it was in...
they always had singles matches against each other. I was at the Garden. They fought each other all the time in singles matches to heat up the feud. That was another WWF staple. They had the guys, the wrestlers, the tag team wrestlers fighting against each other in singles matches. So.
But I definitely remember there was one specific singles match. It's on the Bulldogs Coliseum video.
Yeah, we have that. That's
it's
good
a
stuff.
Dynamite Kid Bret Hart match, and he drops his knee off of the second rope onto Bret Hart's eye socket, and it is the most one of the most gross things you could ever see.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Not long after that, the match is over, but it's just like, whoa, this guy just did not give a shit.
Yeah, he botched it, and they didn't give a shit because they've done this. It's like old hat to them. So
yeah. And beating up a family member, you know.
It's always fun before the holidays.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gives you something to talk about at the Thanksgiving table, you know.
Yeah, when he can't see out of his left eye or something.
Pretty much, yeah, when his eye socket's all jammed in.
Yeah.
Looks like a beat-up pear, you know.
But yeah, these guys, they feuded in Stampede Wrestling. I haven't seen the Bret Hart Dungeon Collection or anything like that, but I know there's a match on there.
I got to lend that to you. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Some of the footage on there is, you know, like, beat up. They just took it right from wherever Brett's basement was and they didn't, like, do any editing to it or anything. They just put it on as is. So, but, all right, Tony C, peace out. See you on Saturday.
Peace out, Tony C.
All right. Start wrapping this bitch up, or you want to take some calls? What do you want to do?
If anybody's open to some calls, yeah.
You want to do some Hart Foundation stuff, British Bulldog stuff? We'll see you for another 5-10 minutes.
Let's take some specific calls about the...
About the feud, yeah. 718-878-6394. We'll keep it open for a minute or two, and then if not, we'll just wrap it up. But, you know, I think You know, in terms of longevity, I think if Dynamite Kid didn't, again, like I mentioned before earlier in the show, if Dynamite Kid didn't get hurt, they could have dragged these guys out until the early 90s. And you could have feuded. They could have feuded easily. And you might have still gotten a singles Bret Hart. You know what I'm saying? Like, you even could have gotten a singles Dynamite Kid. You know, and I know I know back then they didn't emphasize on the small guys. But in the 90s, they made that transition. You guys came in, you know, the Bret Harts and Shawn Michaels and the smaller guys. They weren't big and muscular no more, you know?
Yeah.
And,
well, I know Dynamite specifically wanted to do tag team wrestling, and they did. You know, Bulldogs were going strong until I think like about like 92. It had to be like 91 because David Boy Smith went to the WWF. But I know like they were still going until like the early 90s. Very early 90s.
Yeah, dude. It's funny we're talking about the Hart family today because today is the anniversary of Owen's passing, actually, too.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I can't believe it's been fucking that long already.
Wow.
So, but, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I can't. But
You can't turn back time like shit.
No, you can't. You can't. I enjoyed it, dude. I enjoyed it. But speaking of enjoyment, you and I, along with Shining Wizards Tony, Eddie, and I think Kevin, will be at the Legends of the Ring June 7th in beautiful Monroe, New Jersey.
Why do you say Monroe like that?
Another reason why I gotta. You've never seen Too Close for Comfort, huh? It was a sitcom in the 80s, and
I did see that, but my memory of that now is like reduced to almost like nothing.
Well, the upstairs neighbor, Monroe, played by Jim J. Bullock. Hello, the guy from Hollywood Squares.
Oh, this sounds like really familiar. Wasn't Jim J. Bullock? Wasn't he on Out of This World too?
I believe so, but he was the center square in the late 80s.
Yeah,
in Hollywood Squares, and he was the character who lived upstairs from Mr. Rush, who was Ted Knight. Ted Knight, like Monroe. So now every time I hear Monroe, New Jersey, that's what I think about. But Dave and I will be there till about lunchtime that day.
Yeah.
We got to split out, but we're gonna be there with the Wizards. You know, it's gonna be a fun time. Try to come out, Legends of the Ring. Go to legendsoftheRing.com. We'll have a table there. Say what's up to us.
Holler at your boys.
I know.
I'll put you through a table or something.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have the fun we had last time. I don't think we're going
to. Well, we were across from fucking Zap from the American Gladiators throwing tennis balls.
Tennis balls at Zap. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But
that's going to be fun. What is it? I'm going to be at Crossroads for both Kevin Garifo shows. I think there's one on May 29th. He's doing stand up, and the Wizards are going to be there doing a live show.
They're doing a live show. Yeah, that's during the week. I don't know if I can make that.
Yeah, it's like a Thursday night.
Yeah, I work till 8 o'clock.
It's like one of the few nights I'm free.
Yeah, well, go out there and support the Shining Wizards if you're in the tri-state area.
June 7th, he's gonna be Shining Wizards. Kevin is going to be there back with Mick Foley.
Well, that's the same day as the Legends of the Ring.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be on my way to Maryland. I'll be actually in Maryland by the time that show goes on. So,
oh, damn.
So you, I have to leave probably around the same time you do that day. But
yeah,
we got to go, take care of business and support the Wizards and the Shining Wizards Network and all that good stuff. All right.
Right.
You want to start doing the plugs and get the fudge out of here or what?
Yeah, let's do that. Nobody's calling in, so let's wrap it up.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We are here every week on The Rant at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, rantemradio.com. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. We are on the Twitter box at tbuckletbacks. Email is turnbuckle throwbacks1@gmail.com. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boo, Buzzsprout, and Geek Life Radio, as well as shiningwizardsnetwork.com. So let's play our outro and play some music, and then we'll get the hell out of here.
The Exploited.
All right. All right.
Some UK music.
You goddamn right it is. All right. Our buddy Justin. Our buddy Justin has a new podcast, Inconclusive Breakdown. Check that out. Okay. You can check out all the other cool shows we have on the Shining Wizards Network, including our brothers, the Shining Wizards. Midnight Jury, of course. The Neckbreaker. Two and a Half Wrestlers. Fallen Angels. Apex Radio. Wolfman Jack Foley. Just Incredibles Pro Wrestling 101. We got The Rant every Tuesday at 8 p.m. We have The Wrestling Call-In Show. We have What Are You Reading? Don Tony and Kevin Castle. Wrestling Soup. The Bloke Show. Mega Powers Radio. NXT Cast. Metal Thunder Radio. Tattoos and Touchdowns. Uncle Eddie and The Ham Radio. And, of course, The Unsilent Majority. Episode 2 is now out. Go get it. Available on Buzzsprout.com. And, of course, on our page, the Turnbuckle Throwback Wrestling Podcast. Dave, any closing thoughts?
Oh, you cunt. This is the Mega Powers, and I can hold my breath for a long time.
So, for the Mega Powers, as always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Raya, bidding you all adieu until next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Avoid the clap, and we'll be back next week. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.